You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, he is in the Lake Wissota studio, and it is a Friday morning. It is nice to have you here, 7:06, even if I'm not necessarily here at the time you're hearing me be here. But we've got nice, fresh content for you for this day. What's the content, you ask? That's the Week in Review panel, of course. But we spoke a little bit before we gathered all around our respective Thanksgiving tables, and we'll talk a bit about what we are thankful for in some of the things that are in the news today. Those folks, of course, include former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. You can hear him on Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 on Civic Media stations all around Wisconsin, played back on Sunday. Learn more at civicmedia.us. You, of course, have Mark Jacob. You can catch his newsletter, Stop the Presses, at stopthepresses.news, and also learn more about him over at couriernewsroom.com. And then pinch hitting for Jennifer Schulze this week is our friend Joan Esposito, live, local, and progressive from WCPT Radio in Chicago, weekday afternoons from 2 to 5. You can find links to her show, to guests, past episodes, podcasts, and more over at heartlandsignal.com. Joan, James, Mark, nice to have you all here. Thank you very much.
Pat, my video seems frozen, so I'm going to log out and come back again. Well, hello to everybody.
You just talk do
amongst
that.
Yourselves. Talk amongst yourselves.
We will. We will, and don't worry about your camera. It's radio, and we won't have a live stream of this, so we'll just carry on, guys, while Joan comes back in. And Jim, we'll start with you, because again, from a legal standpoint, you know, there were plenty of things going on, not the least of which this week was the throwing out of the cases against former FBI Director James Comey, and of course Attorney General Letitia James as well. It seems to have played out exactly the way we thought it would go, is that these were bogus cases being brought primarily just to damage reputations and drive up legal bills, and they could still come back. But when you make somebody a federal prosecutor out of a crackerjack box, essentially, don't be surprised when a court says you're not qualified to bring this case up.
Right. And that's basically the procedural but very significant thing that Judge Cameron McGowan Curry did just earlier this week, right before Thanksgiving. She found, looking at this narrow issue, frankly, there are three altogether, but the narrow issue of whether or not Lindsay Helgen, the interim United States attorney, sent in to the Eastern District of Virginia after the previous Trump interim U.S. attorney said there was no case here, nothing to prosecute. President sends her in. She gets an indictment a couple of days later. And what the judge has focused on is not what the U.S. attorney said, the outrageous thing she said in the grand jury. It's actually not even the vindictive prosecution, although that is implicit in this. But again, as you just accurately said, Pat, this notion that the president has just decided to appoint people stacking their terms of office. And she says that's not appropriate. It is not. That's not the statute of authority. Now you've got to get a court to appoint a U.S. attorney or get Senate confirmation. And so she says that with that arrangement, that badly manipulated and manufactured arrangement, Lindsay Helgen has had no authority to do anything as United States attorney since the time that she walked in the office, including appear before the grand jury, including asking them to return indictments against Letitia James and James Comey, including to sign off on this, anything. And for that reason, no authority, no indictments, and they are dismissed without prejudice, as you noted, which means that they could come back. There's some burdens with respect to that, mostly because as to James Comey, statute of limitations has already run. That's one of the reasons why they moved quickly to get him indicted back in September. But we're going to hear more of this. The president has promised to appeal this, which is undergoing right now. But it is a significant slap in this case. The only other thing I would mention, which is huge, is that I still hope that the trial judge, the one addressing the larger issues of indicative prosecution and this grand jury abuse we talked about last week, I hope that he will still issue something, some order sometime soon, telling this president that aside from your procedural nightmares and not just foot faults, but also because of these other things, we don't indict people in America because we don't like them, because they run afoul of your view of how things should be. And also, you got to get people who are competent, who are not going to misstate the law to the grand jury that's returning an indictment. There's a lot going on there. There's still a lot to be heard. I'm hoping that we get that full three-part order, that three-part directive at some point that really tells Donald Trump and Pam Bondi, you are acting unconstitutionally across the board.
But they are acting on brand, Mark, and that's the point I want to get to with you, is above all of the, you know, the legal X's and O's, which are important, don't get me wrong. But this is par for the course on what Donald Trump does. We saw it throughout his first term where, again, much like in this case, bypassing the confirmation process by naming people and saying, well, they're the acting secretary or they're the acting department head or they're the acting this. Mark, it's all about the acting rather than actual confirmation and being, you know, subject to the review of the people that we elect to Congress.
Right. I mean, there's all this structure that's been put in, you know, checks and balances, things to keep us keep somebody from going, you know, rogue and, you know, becoming a dictator, which is what Trump wants to be. I guess, Pat, I'd have to say, though, that something that really kind of makes me feel hopeful is that the Trump regime is reminding us that crooks aren't very smart and that they're not always competent. And the incompetence of this administration may be our salvation because they have real bad intentions, but they, you know, they step all over their own feet and when they try to, you know, implement things. And, you know, so maybe their bad intentions won't get to the point where they'll hurt too many more Americans. But I mean, right now, obviously we're seeing a lot of wreckage, but maybe they can be stopped because they're just plain incompetent.
Well, and that leads me to kind of the theme I want to get to with you guys is, you know, the things that we are thankful for this week. And look, there's been a lot of, let's just say it, there's been a lot of hell these past 10 months in this country. A lot of good people have been hurt as a result of this administration being sworn in. But let me just throw a premise out, Mark, and I'll have you whack at it first. Are we thankful for this, that after 10 months, we might be off of what I would call peak MAGA, that we've now seen pushback on the Epstein files. We've seen members of Congress, Republicans, starting to head for the exits. We've seen this string of court setbacks. DOGE had to end its run, you know, months ahead of schedule. You see the community pushback on troops in Chicago and in North Carolina and in other places. Is that a reason to be thankful, though maybe not optimistic and certainly not complacent?
Yeah, I guess there are some good signs. You know, his approval ratings and polls keep on going down. And I guess I don't want to get too hopeful because, you know, it was less than, you know, it was about a year ago when 77 million people voted for, you know, the most unqualified person to ever run for president of the United States to be president. So, you know, I'm not super optimistic, but yes, we should be thankful for a lot of things. We should be thankful for that, you know, that people are filing lawsuits to challenge these things, that brave people are risking their own jobs because they to speak out against him. And, you know, we can win. I mean, I think that part of what Trump and his bunch have been trying to make us feel like is that there's a sense of inevitability, especially when you had Elon Musk in the first few months just laying wreckage to the, you know, to our government. And I think that they wanted us to feel like, well, we were helpless. We couldn't do anything about it. And we weren't going to, you know, that it was a fait accompli. And it's not. I mean, you see people pushing back. You see, you know, people defending their neighbors. And, you know, as you said, in North Carolina and Chicago. And this is, and people are getting more active, not less, as they see, you know, all these bad acts. And so, yeah, I think we can win.
Jim Santel, we'll go to you next, and then to Joan Esposito. And if you're just tuning in, we're asking about in light of Thanksgiving, is there something to be thankful for that maybe we've come off peak MAGA? And certainly, Jim, a big reason for people to hope for that is that yeah, there's still those six right-wing justices on the Supreme Court, but there still seem to be enough other judges, prosecutors, others in the judiciary that are willing to say the rule of law should still mean something, no matter how much pressure a president and his cronies try to put on us.
That's exactly right. And at the top of my list would be just that. Again, not in any way to diminish the good list that Mark just provided, including all those people inside federal agencies who are either saying no, that we don't know about yet, or also voting with their feet and leaving and refusing to do these things. Federal district court judges are still the standard by which this administration is being measured. And almost unanimously, not 100%, but boy, very close, they're saying, no, you cannot do unconstitutional things, Mr. President. We recognize the Supreme Court is another issue. Just this past week, once again, you've got James Boasberg, who's saying, you know what? Now the appeals court has given me authorization to figure out whether or not the United States Department of Justice was in contempt in failing to turn around those planes back in March that sent 238 people to El Salvador, where there's still, you've got Judge Paula Zinnes in Maryland, who's looking at the Department of Justice and saying, what do we do with Kilmer Abrego Garcia on his immigration case? Other judges in Chicago, in Milwaukee, in San Diego, in Los Angeles, in Miami, Boston, all over the country, who are saying no to all kinds of things this president has done, including birthright citizenship, many other things out there, including tariffs for what it's worth. And again, some major decisions there. There is a reason not to be thankful, but I would say to be hopeful that the federal judiciary remains this bastion of basic decency and justice. And again, coming off of Thanksgiving, we have a lot to be thankful for that they are there and they're not being afraid. They are not afraid of this judge, that this president, both Republican and Democratic judges appointed by Donald Trump and Joe Biden and Barack Obama and George Bush, everyone, they're to almost a person, they're saying no. That's what's going to save us in the end when it comes to the legal aspects of all of this.
Joan Esposito, just under 2 minutes until we go to a break here. Again, taking nothing away from all the harm that's been done and is ongoing, but are there things we can be thankful for when we look at what Americans have done during these past 10 months?
Absolutely. Absolutely. At the beginning of all this, I think like a lot of people, I was wondering, would a savior emerge? You know, someone who we can all rally around and who's going to lead the charge. And pretty quickly, I figured out that this was going to be a grassroots thing. We are our own saviors. We are the ones who are standing firm. We are the ones who are resisting peacefully. Thank you. And we are the ones, I think, with our show of strength and the continued commitment people have to resist, 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 I think that between us and those federal judges Jim was talking about, I see a lot of hope. And frankly, Jim, I also think while the Supreme Court may agree with Donald Trump on a lot of things, you know, I think that they now see the cracks, see that this guy is not forever. And if we take back both houses and the White House, is there going to be an expanded court? Is their power going to be diluted? Maybe they'll pay a little more attention.
Perhaps so. And that's part of the conversation that we will continue here on this Friday morning with Joan Esposito, with Mark Jacob, with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. That all will continue in just a little bit. There are guests through much of this hour as we head into a weekend. As we head into that weekend, a quick reminder that the Wisconsin Badgers will be playing this weekend a little football against the University of Minnesota. Coverage begins at 12:30 here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back in a bit.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We'll be back with our Week in Review panel in just a sec here. First, want to tell you something special is coming up next week. Our latest text to win contest, the holidays are here. maybe you will get a chance to pick a present from Civic Media's grown-up gift list. It all starts on Monday. You'll be listening for keywords for your chance to win. It could be $200 cash. It could be a chance at grand prizes. There's a snowblower out there. There's a portable air conditioner that you're going to need next year. There's a stainless steel cookware set that's up for grabs as well. It's all about using that Civic Media app and texting in various keywords to us throughout the day. And that all starts next Monday, in just a few short days away, in this multi-station, multi-state contest from the grown-up gift list here on Civic Media. Pat Kreitlow here in Chippewa Falls, and our Week in Review panel is here. Mark Jacob from the Stop the Press's newsletter and Courier Newsroom, Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, and Joan Esposito from WCPT Radio in Chicago and Heartland Signal as well. As we've been talking about some of the stories that we're thankful for this week, Mark, I'll start with you. Thankful for, you know, heroes of all stripes, not the least of which are members of Congress who are veterans who have stood up and reminded, you know, their fellow soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and others that being a patriot includes the right to not obey illegal orders. Now, that's fact. That's like saying the sun rises in the east and, boy, the president of the United States and the Secretary of Defense did not take it very well at all. But one of those veteran members of Congress is Mark Kelly. That's a fight I'm not sure Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth wanted to pick.
No. And what these members of Congress said is the same thing that's on a plaque at West Point, that you're not supposed to obey illegal orders. So, you know, come on. I mean, what's the American tradition really clear? Especially after World War II, when Nazis tried to claim that they were just following orders, it was clear that following illegal orders does not absolve you of guilt. And that's important to know here when Trump is just bulldozing through laws left and right. And for them to, you know, in effect, Pat, what's happening here is that these members of Congress declared that they urged people not to commit crimes. So they're being accused of crimes for urging people not to commit crimes. It's, you know, and so here we are, you know, here we are in the, you know, the upside down world here with Donald Trump. So it's super important for people to back up these members of Congress, especially Mark Kelly, you know, former astronaut, veteran, whose wife was a victim of political violence. I mean, he's a very admirable figure, and you know, I put him up against, you know, the Keg Seth, you know, and you see what you get.
Yeah, Joan. I mean, it's one thing if Dick Durbin said it, or Chuck Schumer, or Adam Schiff, kind of the usual characters, but going after these veterans and people with very high public standing. Mm-hmm. Look, for a president who loves to look for the little PR victories, I just don't really know what he was thinking thinking for a moment that this was something he could win.
He wants to intimidate people into not giving him grief. He wants to intimidate members of Congress into not giving him grief. He wants to intimidate all the White House reporters, quiet piggy, into not giving him grief. He wants to scare people. If I say something against Trump, he'll come after me. You know, Adam Kinzinger posted a video, and he said that on the very first day of officer candidate training school, the first thing they tell you is that you cannot obey an illegal order. You cannot do that. He said they tell you that on day one, and that's all these people said. Mm-hmm. It's just insane.
And Jim, I mean, I've already invoked the Saturday Night Massacre from Watergate once already. But, you know, again, I'll say that in the judiciary, you know, this also applies where you have people serving their country who, you know, understand not to follow illegal orders. Now, there are people they get in the comment sections. It's like, oh, you're undermining law enforcement and you're undermining the military and all that. This isn't, oh, just don't follow an order you don't like. There is a real difference that, you know, the professionals are trained to spot and understand and respect.
And to those people who push back on that, Pat, I would say you're actually strengthening the military and you're strengthening domestic law enforcement by reaffirming these principles. You go back in history, we know all sorts of instances. One of them, the My Lai massacre, right? In a situation where order is given and catastrophe happens, firing on a civilian village. Abu Ghraib happened right before I went to Iraq. Again, that kind of thing. And oh, by the way, let's look to his first term. How about a guy named Mark Esper, the former defense secretary, who refused to follow an order, presumably given by the president, to fire at the legs of protesters in Lafayette Park. Why? Because all those three things, overseas, domestically, they're all illegal. It would be have been a violation of the law, military law, domestic law, to abide by any of those orders. And we've seen the judges have come down and said exactly that. The lesson is clear. The president's words also threatening the members of Congress. They're not protected by the First Amendment. No. That's incitement to violence when you're talking about hanging people. Yeah. That is fighting words. It is not protected by the First Amendment. Under other circumstances, he would also be the subject of prosecution in a federal court for saying those things.
Yeah. And so, Mark, I don't know if this thing will have legs. I'm sure he will find somebody else to call out. I mean, he even tried to call out Jimmy Kimmel again. And Jimmy Kimmel said, I'll leave when you leave. I mean, again, I feel like there's real pushback building here.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. They, you know, the FCC, which is, you know, tyrannically run by Trump toady, mm-hmm. you know, tried to get Jimmy Kimmel fired. It didn't work. You know, he's still there. And so people are finding that if they, you know, bullies love people who just acquiesce.
Yes.
People are finding that you can fight and win against this would-be dictator.
Absolutely. That's Mark Jacob, also joined by Joan Esposito and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. And the conversation will continue in just a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Nice to have you here with our Week in Review panel on this Black Friday morning. Coming up 1 hour from now, we're going to be talking to author Laura Ann Bird. You know, she was with us on Monday with some book recommendations dealing with the theme of gratitude. Well, we wanted her to come back right away, and she's going to share some book ideas for beating the winter blues, and especially given the weather lately and the weather to come over the next couple of months, why wait till winter's here in full force? So listen for Laura Bird's wintertime book recommendations coming up 1 hour from now. But we have one for you right here as well. Mark Jacob told us all about it last year, and it's still a great idea for a holiday gift, a book that you worked on with your brother.
Yeah, it's called Globetrotter, How Abe Saperstein Shook Up the World of Sports. It's about a 5'3" Chicagoan who founded one of the most famous basketball teams in the world, the Harlem Globetrotters, about a century ago. And it's a biography of him. It's super interesting. He had so much fun writing it. It's both kind of has funny stories, but it also has real serious issues about, you know, racism in America and how they overcame it. And has some things that almost nobody knows. Like Abe Saperstein pioneered the three-point shot in basketball. Some people think that was around forever, but he's the first person to put it in league play. And he's also in Negro Leagues baseball. And I mean, it's just a fascinating story. And if you love history and or sports, I think you'll find it interesting. It's available online at all great booksellers, called Globetrotter, How Abe Saperstein Shook Up the World of Sports.
And if you don't want to do the Amazon thing, you can go to Bloomsbury.com, Bloomsbury.
Yeah,
Bloomsbury.com. And get it directly that way as well. So that's from Mark Jacob. Joan Esposito, you can hear her be live, local, and progressive on WCPT Radio. And, of course, you can follow her through Heartland Signal as well to learn all about past episodes, podcasts, links to guests, and more. Joan, you've been talking to folks heading into this Thanksgiving weekend. I'm sure, again, we've been kind of hitting this theme of gratitude here, especially in your area in Chicago, where there might be some gratitude for the community. There might also be some gratitude for, you know, elected leaders who are still standing up for things like, you know, they fought back hard against the expiration of the enhanced tax credits under the Affordable Care Act. They fought back against, you know, cuts to SNAP benefits. Now, these are still uphill fights, but I mean, you got to have some hope when you see Donald Trump earlier this week say, okay, here comes my health care plan. And then instead, you know, within 24, it's postponed again. I can't believe it.
I got so excited yesterday. It was like CNN was later today, we will see Donald Trump's health care plan. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I can't wait to see this. And then a few hours later, I see this banner postponed. And I swear I heard one of the anchors on CNN say, oh, I'm sure we'll have it in 2 weeks. Because as you know, from the first term, 2 weeks, for 4 years, we heard that his healthcare plan was coming in 2 weeks. So here we go again.
Somebody counted it up, and I don't have the number. I want to say it was like 279 weeks it's been since he said the healthcare plan was going to be coming in 2 weeks. And, you know, that's the funny side, the lighter side, if you will. But, you know, Joan, the problems are real. Your listeners are watching what their health insurance premiums have been jacked up to. And a lot of them are going to choose to go without coverage. And, you know, that just has such a snowball effect.
And then we're going to see another big rise in medical bankruptcies the way we had before. I mean, our healthcare system is apparently pretty fragile, but the Wall Street Journal has been reporting for the last few weeks that behind the scenes, Republicans are trying to figure out. They want to restore the subsidies without it actually looking like they're restoring the subsidies, because God forbid Biden did anything right. But they know these letters have already gone out. The premiums go up in January. This is going to kill them in the midterms. So maybe there's hope.
Maybe. But again, you know, it comes only after the bills have first arrived as well. So that's Joan Esposito joining us, part of our Week in Review panel. Jim Santel as well, who's got Amicus, a law review that you can hear on the weekends here across the Civic Media Radio Network. And Jim, you were telling me before we talked about the judge basically slapping down the president on his prosecutions of James Comey and Letitia James. But as far as the, you know, the troop deployments in Chicago and elsewhere, I mean, the hits just keep on coming for a judiciary that is letting the Trump administration know there are still rules and laws to be followed.
Right. Again, you've got Sarah Ellis right there in Chicago. 233 pages of accounting of all of the nightmares of law enforcement. This is not National Guard. This is Border Patrol. This is ICE. And she is recounting the violations of the Constitution, not just of her orders directing that you abide by the law, but the violations of those. That's contempt. We've got that going on there. We've got a judge. Her name is Gia Khan. That those 2,000 National Guard folks that the president deployed in Washington, D.C., even with the special home rule law there, oops, that's unconstitutional too. No authority to do that. And again, so all this is being appealed. We know well the Supreme Court has on its docket now this larger issue about whether or not the president, again, invoking the Insurrection Act, can claim a rebellion in places like Chicago and Washington and Portland and other places around the country, and therefore make these deployments, maybe in the wake of the apparent decision on tariffs. Maybe the Supreme Court, consistent with our overall discussion here, is thinking once or thinking twice, and maybe, just maybe, will say once again, no, the law just doesn't support that the nation is in rebellion justifying this. We'll see what happens here. But again, the hits do keep on coming. Hits with a small H coming from federal district court judges and appeals court judges who are also affirming what those lower courts are finding.
So it's got me thinking, Mark Jacob, that, you know, there are more than a couple of Republicans in Congress who have become, you know, disenchanted. Marjorie Taylor Greene got all the headlines last weekend about not even serving out her term, just wants to quit in early January. Coincidentally, a couple of years after she becomes qualified for a lifetime pension. But anyway, Jake Sherman from over at Punchbowl News put up an especially noteworthy post this week that he's quoting one senior House Republican as saying, this entire, again, this is a senior House Republican. This entire White House team has treated all members like garbage, all. And Mike Johnson has let it happen because he wanted it to happen. That's the sentiment of nearly all the appropriators, the authorizers, the hawks, the doves, the rank and file. The arrogance of this White House team is off-putting to members who are run roughshod and threatened. They don't even allow little wins like the announcing of small grants or even responding from agencies. Not even the high profile, the regular rank and file random members are more upset than ever. Members know they are going into the minority after the midterms. More explosive early resignations are coming. It's a tinderbox. Morale has never been lower. Mike Johnson will be stripped of his gavel and they will lose the majority before this term is out. Pardon the cliche, Mark Jacob, but other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how'd you like the play?
Well, you know, I mean, I feel so sorry for these Republican lawmakers who just who kowtowed to Donald Trump, and then he just wasn't nice to them after they kowtowed to Trump. I think that the last decade has really laid bare the lack of ethics and the lack of principles in members of the Republican Party and Congress. And so now, you know, they've been sticking with Trump, even though they knew he was a criminal and that, you know, they knew he was bad for the country. But I think they thought he was good for their own personal ambition. Now they're seeing the polls and they're seeing this this widespread anger. And now they're saying, oh, it may not be good for us, you know, in the, you know, the next time. And so that they're still operating out of advantage for themselves personally, instead of the advantage for the country in having, you know, a legitimate members of Congress. But so, you know, I have no sympathy for them. You know, don't, you know, let the door hit you on the way out. You know, please, you know, get, you know, I just hope that whoever takes their place is, you know, on the right side of things and not another careerist who doesn't give a crap about the country.
Right. And is only interested in pandering to their base. There's more dissatisfaction among the Republican ranks with the way that the administration handled a so-called peace plan for Ukraine, where Secretary of State Marco Rubio apparently let it slip. He made that cardinal sin of telling the truth, I guess, for a moment, that the so-called peace plan was primarily, you know, authored by the Russians. He then had to backtrack and say, oh, no. This was all a Trump administration thing. And you had Nebraska Republican Don Bacon saying, you know, people ought to be fired for the ham-handed way that this has all been treated. Joan Esposito, again, it just goes to show that people are still willing to stand up for some principles, not the least of which is, however they voted for Donald Trump on maybe economic issues or whatever, there are not a lot of people that voted for him to have Russia completely roll over Ukraine and for Trump to just be Putin's puppet in all this.
I think this shows that we've always known. I mean, Donald Trump isn't a guy who sits down and reads all the documents, for God's sake. You know, so, and his administration seems more chaotic. We did this plan. No, we didn't do this plan. Somebody else did this plan. No, wait a minute. Part of it we did. You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's like watching a bunch of children. And when I was so glad when the European Union and Canada came out and said, hey, this plan sucks. If you want to use it as a starting point for negotiations, maybe, but this plan sucks. And gave Volodymyr Zelensky the backing he needed. I mean, the face of that guy when this plan was released, it was like he had just lost his dog and his best friend and his mother on the same day. And I'm so glad somebody, not us, but somebody has his back.
Yeah, that's Joan Esposito. I'm also joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and journalist Mark Jacob as well. And let us close with a period of mourning for Doge. Okay, period of mourning is over, and Jim Santel, the damage was done. I mean, it didn't really cut federal spending. You got rid of a lot of regulations that would have applied to billionaires and corporations and things like that. How much damage was done because of layoffs and things in the judiciary? I mean, is Doge something that we're going to be talking about for years coming back from?
the consequences are things that we may see, we may not see, because we have lost, again, this huge amount of expertise, 1,000 people fighting from the Department of Education. We know he's trying to bring that down. State Department, again, Department of Justice, all kinds of agencies across the board recognize once again the demise of I don't even want to say it's DOGE. It was never a department. I don't know what it was. Was not properly, but here's the other damage to it by the Supreme Court. This Supreme Court let those 20-year-olds get access to the Social Security information of all of us, not just numbers, but also healthcare information. And that was at the pen of John Roberts, an emergency docket. And again, that's the continuing consequence of not only that Musk team, but what the Supreme Court does in complicity with this administration.
It was never a department. It was never anything other than special favors to a select few and good riddance. And we'll just leave it at that. That's one more thing to be thankful for. Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney. You can catch him on Amicus Law Review, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on Civic Media stations, replayed on Sundays. Joan Esposito, live, local, and progressive from WCPT Radio in Chicago, weekday afternoons from 2 to 5. Find more at heartlandsignal.com. Mark Jacob, get his newsletter at stopthepresses.news. Thank you all very much. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. We will have some more news and notes to wrap up this hour from Lake Wissota next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Back at 7:52 on this Black Friday. Again, my thanks to our Week in Review panel for letting us kind of go off the usual course and talk about, you know, things they're thankful for in the news cycle. And we're going to cover some of that with Dr. Kristen Lierley after the 8 o'clock news. But as we do on this time slot on Friday mornings, Dr. Kristen Lierley is here, along with our executive producer, Frank Gargano, and Parker Olson, to do a quiz. Hello, Kristen. How are you? Ready for some quizzing?
I love the quiz. And I remembered the rules this time. I have to say my name, not just blurt out the answer.
There you
go. And thank you for reminding the other two gentlemen on here, Dr. Lierley. Say your name.
Yes.
Your name is your buzzer.
It's nice that the one gentleman who's taking this game seriously will know that, Parker. So, yes, by all means.
Hey, wait a minute. Pat has to say Patrick because Parker and I both have two syllables.
That's a good
Pat
point.
Pat just can't bark out Pat. Like, he has to say both syllables.
But okay. Pat is, the name of the show is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. He has to say.
Oh, so I have to say Pat Kreitlow. Okay, fine. Fine, I'll take the extra syllable.
You know what? Your name is
Kreitlow.
On the show.
Yep.
You do whatever
Kreitlow.
You want.
No, I'm going to take three. I'm going to take the handicap. That's how good I feel about this quiz today, Frank. Let's have it.
I love it. Okay, we'll get started. Like Dr. Lierley said, you must say your name. It is your buzzer. Here's the scores because we're keeping a running tally. Dr. Lierley is in first place with 5 points, followed by producer Parker Olson with 3 points, and the man whose name is on the show, Pat, only has 2 points.
Still
so he's playing catch up, okay. And now he has a handicap.
All right, let's do
it. All right, let's get into it. It is rivalry week in the college football world. What trophy do the Badgers and Gophers
Parker.
Play
Kristen,
for
Kristen,
every year?
Kristen. Paul Bunyan's axe.
Oh, Parker, I totally saw that.
What happened?
He was so first with his name.
It's
just that
really?
Kristen said it 8 or 9 times. Look at Parker. He looks absolutely defeated.
Why can't we do one quiz
that
without protest?
That is baffling.
Parker thinks the world is just out to get him.
Parker and Pat think Frank's going to have a hearing test after this to test his reflexes. So that's fine. Kristen,
Kristen,
I did say it repeatedly. Yes.
Did you say it first?
I said it very loudly and over again.
Can I have a point if I can tell you what the original trophy was for this
rivalry? Yes, you can.
The slab of bacon.
It was the slab of bacon. I will award you both a point.
Can I have a point if I have a picture of me holding Paul Bunyan's axe?
No, because you went to Minnesota and I can't.
Thank you.
I can't give a point for somebody supporting PJ Fleck and his fighting rowboat. So
thank you, Frank.
But I will give you a point, Parker. You both get a point. All right.
And for the record, I support both teams. I am not Gopher or Badger. I win this game every year.
Were you literally a Gopher?
She was literally Goldie Gopher.
You were Goldie the Gopher.
She was the mascot. Yeah. Yep. But she's a Wisconsin girl through and through.
This
is true. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. Jamaican actor and singer Jimmy Cliff unfortunately just passed away at the age of 81. He starred as Ivan Martin in what 1972 movie?
Pat!
Wait. No, you cannot force somebody else to answer the question, even though he probably should be able to because he read the obituary on the radio a couple of days back.
I will Pat a couple of days back did say the title of the movie.
Yes, there's a lot of things I say that I have forgotten, though.
That means I wasn't even listening.
Anybody, any guesses? That's five.
True. Parker was there, too.
Four.
Yeah.
There's no
three.
No, no.
Two.
Kristen, I can see clearly now.
No.
I didn't know. I was just guessing. There's no penalty.
Unfortunately. Okay. You know what? I'll play it, and we'll see if anybody gets it.
And then the harder they call,
the harder they fall.
They'll fall, one and all.
Yeah. The harder they fall.
Mm. Parker? You know
anybody?
That?
I got nothing.
Name?
Mm-mm.
Nothing.
Mm-mm.
Okay. The name of the movie is The Harder They Come, which was quite literally in the lyrics I just played.
Isn't it The Harder They Fall?
The name of the movie is The Harder They Come.
Oh, so regardless, you'd have gotten that wrong.
You would have gotten that wrong.
Based on the lyrics.
Okay. Mm.
So no points on that one. We're going to keep trucking along.
We are cooking here. All right.
My head went right to bobsled team. When you said Jamaica, I was like, bobsled.
She was gone.
Cool running.
See, Parker, you guys would have gotten that one. All right. We're going back to the sports realm. A game ball from the 2000 NBA Finals signed by the LA Lakers is expected to fetch up to $300,000 at an upcoming auction. Which Lakers star was the 2000 NBA Finals MVP?
Kristen. Magic Johnson.
Incorrect.
Oh, Kobe Bryant.
Incorrect as well.
Parker.
Parker?
Shaq?
It is Shaq Diesel.
Parker!
That is purely process of elimination. Thank you both for helping.
Magic Johnson, unfortunately, was retired by then.
Yeah, but not retired in my head.
There you go.
That's all that matters.
All right, here's the score. We're doing our weekly week review quiz. Kristen has 6 points total, Parker with five, catching up, and Pat still at 2 points.
Don't know how that happened.
I know. It's all right. We have two more questions today. Let's keep it going.
I didn't mean to try that hard. Let's go.
Obviously, the big event this week everybody was looking forward to was Thanksgiving. What year was the first Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade? Whoever has the... I will let you all answer, and the closest year gets the point. Pat, go ahead.
1924.
Parker?
Oh, 1962.
Dr. Lyerly?
1930.
We do have a correct answer. And Pat is on the board.
Look at that.
1924
5 points for that one.
Correct.
5 points, I can tell you. I mean, I had to know it. I read it a couple of days back. So.
This feels rigged. I think this
is a it should. It's a week in review. That's why you got to listen. Sometimes I even listen to myself, and clearly sometimes I don't. But thank you, Frank, for once again reinforcing the point that I should listen to my own show.
The harder they come, Pat.
I guess so. Mm-hmm. Let's take a break for the news, and then Dr. Lyerly will be back here to talk some of the week in review and the news headlines on this Friday morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. 5 points for that one. Five.
Scoreboard.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.